Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest today is a former European Commissioner and a prominent politician in Bulgaria. Maria Gabriel was in charge of innovation, research, culture, education and youth in the outgoing EU Commission. And in the previous college, she was Commissioner for Digital Economy and Society for 2 years. Now, all these roles are central to the EU's current focus on competitiveness in an increasingly complicated world. Maria Gabriel was also Deputy Prime Minister of Bulgaria and Minister of Foreign Affairs. In addition, she's been an MEP and a Vice President of the centre-right European People's Party in the European Parliament. She now leads the Robert Schuman Institute, which aims to promote democracy in Central and Eastern Europe. She joins me from the Bulgarian capital, Sofia. Maria Gabriel, thank you so much for being my guest. I'd like to start with some news from your neighbouring country, Romania, and this shock result in the first round of the presidential election there, with the populist Calin Georgescu saying that the country doesn't have to get involved in Ukraine, that long-range missile strikes are a mistake. What do you make of his victory in the first round of that presidential election?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Thank you very much for this invitation. Well, I would like to start by saying that no single European member state is protected from what happened in Romania. And it raises major concerns because there is a lot of messages that were sent. Of course, it's not so easy just to say that that was a vote against the traditional parties. We have really to be very careful with the role of the new digital platforms. There is already questions about the role of the TikTok. And as former commissioner on digital economy, also on innovation, I would like really to play how important it is all the time not to lose digital platforms as a channels for engagement for citizens, for a political debate, but really to be sure that they don't interfere without respecting standards, transparency, and having a clear responsibility. So again, I think that in Romania, now what we need is to have again the critical mass of citizens protecting democracy, fundamental rights. Romania is an important state and for the European Union and for NATO, but we need really to take some lessons from the role of these social media and to find the right balanced approach on how to address major concerns.
Of course, Calin Georgescu isn't the only populist politician talking about what he sees as a very dangerous escalation in Ukraine. And people like him across the EU are saying that we're at the most dangerous point in the war in the last 3 years. Would you agree with that?
I have my very strong personal opinion, because for me, supporting Ukraine is supporting our own security, and we must do everything. What I need to understand is how these fears of people about their security or how some disappointments are used by these populist or very demagogical parties really to increase their support. And we have to pay attention to this, because in Bulgaria and in Romania, we have people that are instrumentalizing these fears. And that's why the other parties that are pro-European, pro-NATO, pro-Ukraine, they also have really to innovate in their narratives, in their actions, in their way to engage with citizens, to explain and to have people that are supporting them based on facts and very, very clear positions. So I think that it's a struggle. It's an everyday struggle. And we don't have to ignore these new realities.
How do you think Donald Trump's return to office affects everything that you've just said?
Well, I think that we have to understand now that with these social media, they are bubbles that are really created. They have their own channels of information, of spreading misinformation. But that's why I think that it's really important this time to address the issue in a more efficient way. The question is not to stop the freedom of expression on the right to have information. The question is to target very clearly what are the main concerns about the responsibility of the platforms, about the transparency of the algorithms, about the impact reports that are here. And for that, European Union has now a very important tool in our hands, is the Digital Service Act. But we have really not to ignore these new realities.
Maria Gabriel, I want to talk to you about the new European Commission, which has been approved. And as you know, the European Parliament has voted in favour of this new college. The first announcement that Ursula von der Leyen made was about this new competitiveness compass. Let's take a listen to what she said, and then I'll get some reactions from you.
This competitiveness compass will be the frame for our work for the rest of the term. The compass will be built on three pillars from the Draghi report. First, closing the innovation gap with the United States and China. Second, a joint plan for decarbonization and competitiveness. And third, increasing security and reducing dependencies.
When you hear that, Maria Gabriel, do you feel that this is an actual, really a new initiative, or is it an old wine in a new bottle?
No, what I see is that all the efforts that we did during the last 5 years is now bearing fruits, because more and more there is awareness how important it is to tackle the innovation gap. Let's not forget that Europe in the 90s was 25% of the global economy, and now it's 16%. And for me, what is important now is that Europe is absolutely aware that we need to tackle the innovation gap. I very much welcome the first announced initiative by the European Commission. What I'd like to see, of course, it's now the concrete proposals. What about the budget? We need to invest heavily in research and innovation. What about the cooperation between universities and businesses? What about the access to data or skills on the small productivity firms and the cooperation with the big corporations? What about the mobility of the researchers? How to attract talents in Europe? So I think that what will be important is to follow this very closely and to see what will be the concrete proposals. I will pay a lot of attention, but now I just see with big satisfaction that the work that the Commission One from the Line One did the last 5 years, it's now starting really to change the dimension. That's what we need. We need to change the dimension. We need to think bigger, and we need to change the speed. We need much more rapid action.
So one concrete proposal which is linked to research and innovation, of course, is the proposal on defence, in which up to 35% of the financial incentives financed by the EU budget would be spent on defence products from outside the European Union. Does that sound to you like strategic autonomy or more dependence?
Well, we are not alone in this world, and we need strategic partners. So the question, it will be the choice from where and how. But definitely, we need to invest much more in defense, and we need to increase our defense capabilities. We need to support our defense industries. And again, here, I very much hope that in the ecosystem of defense, they will not forget startups and small and medium enterprises, because we have big corporations. They have already their contracts with countries outside of Europe, but we need joint effort, coordinated effort to see how we can use what we already have and how we can invest more in a better way. So, yes, that's one of the directions in which we have to look much, much more rapidly.
Maria Gabriel, in October, Bulgarians were asked to vote for the seventh time in 4 years because of the failure of Bulgaria's political parties to agree on forming a coalition government after the inconclusive election on June the 9th. We actually reported from Bulgaria a couple of years ago, and the people we talked to were already very fed up. I imagine public trust in politics must be at rock bottom right now.
Well, my message is very clear. Bulgaria do not have time to lose. So it's up to all the politicians to be responsible and to stop losing the time of the country. In this world, when things are moving so rapidly, when important, crucial decisions are taken, and that will determine the future for the next years, not to say more, it's more than important that people work for Bulgaria, a Bulgaria well integrated in the European Union and in NATO. And I very much hope that this reason will prevail. Unfortunately, at this stage, I can't see real progress. And this is something that makes me fearing what's about other political forces, like what happened in Romania, that will use this vacuum, this political immobilism, to play their world, their game. Because let's not forget, Bulgaria is very important, strategically important state for the European Union. We are at the crossroads of so many crucial topics, from energy to food and from the protection of the borders. So I think that more than ever, we need politicians that take their responsibility and work really what is the definition of a politics for the benefits of all citizens.
Having said all that, there has been a breakthrough on Bulgaria and Romania joining the Schengen zone. Is that something that could perhaps work against the instability or the populist instincts that you just described?
Well, first, we all wait for 12th of December and to see this process finalized. From my side, I must tell that the decisive push was done last year when first we decided to open Schengen area for Bulgaria and Romania via air and sea borders. But now we need really to finalize this process. My concern is that this process took so many years that all these political forces that are against used it in a very, very efficient way. So, yes, it's time really to have a just decision, recognizing the efforts of the both countries, Bulgaria and Romania, just to eliminate all these arguments about a second class, second category of citizens. But that's why we need not to have too much examples of these kind of situations. Because, again, for many years, Bulgaria and Romania were ready. And of course, that all this waiting period without any factual, objective argument, all this fueled, unfortunately, political forces that are against the EU and NATO.
We'll end it there. Thanks to my guest, Maria Gabriel, president of the Robert Schuman Institute. In part two of Talking Europe, I'll be discussing the EU's drugs problem with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament. Do join me then.